We're doing our pre-Pesach preparation here tonight, and much of what happens on Pesach is about preparation. If you come to the Seder unprepared, so you can have one kind of Seder, and if you come to the Seder prepared, then you could have a totally different type of Seder. And you guys aren't taking notes, which I respect. At the same time, you have to realize that chances are you won't remember everything we're doing here tonight. And it's a good idea to review classes online, or to go to some class, or to take our notes online on TorahForMe.org. We have a pamphlet, Back to Basics. I know one of our alumni is rabbi in Poland, and last year he emailed me that they worked with the Polish community off of this pamphlet. And I got a similar email from somewhere in Africa also, that they were using this at their community. So it's not perfect. There are better things out there. But it's the best I could do on short notice and short time, and I haven't yet had time to revamp it.
It says it's in the wee hours of the morning.
Right.
I can translate into Portuguese too, so then you get it in
Portuguese. Okay. Now, we'll make a quick overview. So we come to the Seder. Preparation, right? Preparation means we've gotten rid of our chametz, right? You can't have chametz the day before Pesach already. You have a few hours in the morning and then it's over. You sell your chametz. Those of you who are going out to Chutz Laretz, yeah, there's a time difference. There are 2 days Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, so you have to sell from the day before Pesach here till after Yom Tov there. If you have Pesach, if you have chametz in two locations in the world, here in Chutz Laretz, so you have to write down the locations you own your chametz. You can sell your chametz online through Chabad.org. They have forms online. You could do that. Make sure it works with your time zones. There are rabbis here that sit in the shuls between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and you could sell through them. When you sell through a rabbi, customarily you bring a certain donation when you come. You leave an envelope there with something in it. So we prepare. We clean our house. On the eve of Pesach, the Bechoros, the firstborns, either fast or partake of a Siyum. We have to prepare our good clothing, our good silver. You see, we have fantastic silver spoons there and everything. But on the real Seder, we set the table like kings. We're going to show we're free men tonight. So you prepare the tablecloth, you iron it, you wash it, you prepare the kittel, that white, solid white garment that we wear.
Pillow.
What?
Pillow too.
You prepare a pillow and take a haircut and shave in honor of Yom Tov. You're supposed to come into Yom Tov with a haircut, shaven, and your laundry done. So you have clean your laundry for Yom Tov, and you don't spend Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to shave and take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So those are some of the things we prepare with. Now, one more thing that most people do not prepare with here at Machon Meir, and that is their own personal Haggadah. Go out and buy a Hebrew-English Haggadah. It's not too expensive. I got these for about 3 shekel apiece, or 2 shekel apiece, Hebrew-English. I can't offer you them, because I need them. But I was in a used store, and they had this whole pile, so I bought it to use with you guys. But you could get good Haggadahs. I personally am a fan. My Rebbe, Rav David Feinstein, has a Haggadah, the Kol Dodi Haggadah, Yishak Kach, Shimon, Toda Rava. So Art Scroll put that out there. You have Hebrew and English together with the Halachot here, and gives you the measurements in the back. You have inches to measure your matzah. We're going to work on that tonight. How much is a kezias? What volume matzah do you have to eat? So preparation for Pesach includes getting Haggadah. Don't rely on your host. Have Haggadah that you enjoy. You should have your own wine stains in your Haggadah. Why leave your wine stains for someone else? What should you look for in Haggadah? So I like Haggadah that has an English translation. I like Haggadah that includes the halachot, so you know what you're doing. And I like Haggadah that covers the basics. That's why I like this Haggadah. So I should understand why I'm covering the matzahs at this point and taking them off at that point. And as much as you prepare, come the Seder night, and you're after two cups of wine, and you're hungry, and it's on an empty stomach because you haven't eaten all day, because you can't eat chametz, because you can't eat chametz that day, the second half of the day, right? For two-thirds of the day, you can't eat chametz. You can't eat matzah, because you're not allowed to eat matzah the eve of Pesach. What are you going to eat? So you got almost nothing to eat. You could eat a little bit of vegetables. You come to say they're hungry, and on an empty stomach, you're downing two cups of wine, the wine of Kiddush, and then the next cup of wine. And then you finally hit the matzah and the marah and all that. That's really good for your stomach, you know. Kazai's matzah, and then marah straight on an empty stomach. So you're not exactly as focused as you might be the rest of the year. And that's why I like Agada that reminds me. Or a lot of guys come to the Seder with my back to basics. This isn't going to be kosher for Passover. You're going to have all kinds of stuff. The matzah isn't really kosher matzah for Pesach. So get yourself a clean copy. Download it and print it again for Pesach. Or keep it clean. Make sure it's clean. That doesn't have crumbs. You have to be extra careful with the books that come to the table. Because every crumb of chametz is prohibited to eat. Meaning we don't have to clean between the balatot, between the tiles, for the crumbs of chametz, that's true. But you do have to ensure that no crumbs of chametz enter your food. So that's why if you're going to have crumbs of chametz in this, that becomes problematic if you're going to bring it to the Pesach table. Anything that I might end up eating, there I do have to worry about the smaller crumbs. When it comes to cleaning my house, I have to worry about things that are visible, that are noticeable, that I might come to eat, that's relevant to me. I'm not worried about the crumbs that are in the corners. I'm worried about the pretzels in the corners. I'm worried about that. I might end up eating. I just had that today. My son dropped the pretzel on his way to the Hasai. I picked up the pretzel off the sidewalk outside. And I was on my way inside, and something happened. I put it down for a second, dealt with one of the kids, and the other kid came, picked it up, and popped it into their mouth. And I'm like, hey, wait a second, that pretzel is all over the floor. Right? So a pretzel from the corner could easily end up in someone's mouth. Then I went to eat another pretzel, and I suddenly realized maybe she ate the clean pretzel, and I'm eating one that was all over the floor. So things that are all over, all kinds of things can happen with. So when we clean for Pesach, we're worried about pretzels. You might end up eating a piece of chocolate with, you know, like a Kit Kat that has chametz inside, we're worried about. We're worried about things that aren't kosher for Pesach. When it comes to eating them, we're worried about what you might actually eat. But when it comes to crumbs, so then in your Haggadah, you have to worry about crumbs because it's coming on the table. You don't want to end up eating those crumbs. And the same would go true for this pamphlet if you're going to use it. Same thing with your pockets. Ordinarily, you don't have to clean like every crumb out of your pocket. It's going through the laundry. But if it's going to be something you're going to wear and stick your hands into and get the crumbs on your hands and then eat the food at the tables, then you do have to worry about those crumbs. You're not allowed to eat those crumbs. Assuming they're edible, whatever. okay. So what do we need for Pesach? Let's see. What do you guys help me? What do you need for Pesach? I'm not going to do the sheets. When we were kids, we'd always say, if the teacher were so smart, why do they need the teacher's guide with all the answers? So, okay, guys, help me out. Shimon, what do you know for Pesach? What do you need for Pesach?
Okay, plates.
No, what mitzvahs do we have on the night of the Seder?
The matzah.
Okay, so we have a biblical mitzvah on the night of Seder to eat matzah. How much matzah do we have to eat? So we have to eat the volume of an olive, a kazayis, whenever the Torah tells us to eat something. So by the halachic definition, the word achila, eating, means eating a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Eating the volume of an olive in the time it would take you to eat half a loaf of bread, which is about 2-3 eggs, the volume of 2-3 eggs of bread. Okay, so that's not too difficult, except for when you're eating crackers. When you're eating matzah and suddenly it's crunchy and flowing all over your mouth, then it's a little bit more challenging to eat kezayis. Do we have any eggs?
No.
We don't have a single egg? Where are all of our eggs?
Destroyed.
Ah, okay. So, mitzvah, the beginning of next class, we'll measure out the volume of an egg. And Halacha describes that a kazayis is half an egg. Okay, so when we say you have to eat a kazayis, that means eating the volume of half an egg. The only thing is that we're uncertain that our olives are the size of the olives in the days of Chazal. And there's reason to think that our olives have diminished. They're not the same size as their olives were. And it could be they diminished to half the size. So when it comes to biblical mitzvos, we say, being that there's reason to believe that our olives are smaller, so we say, okay, you have to eat two olives, because we're not sure if the volume of our olives is exactly right. And that's why we say, okay, let's evaluate the volume of two olives or the volume of an egg. If the volume of an olive is half an egg, so then the volume of an egg, you guys know how big an egg looks like, okay. Then the question is, when you take a hard matzah and break it up, Well, how much of that is going to fit into the volume of an egg? How much matzah do you have to eat to get the volume of an olive or to get the volume of an egg? And that we will explore, as I said in the beginning of next class. We will actually break up a matzah. Ooh, these are weird matzahs. Okay. The matzahs you buy in the store will not look like these. I hope. Ah, no, wait. There are two types of matzah, right? There's handmade matzah we went to see this week. And then there's machine-made matzah. Machine-made matzah usually look a little different than this.
Well, what's the difference?
They're not as jagged edges. And, yeah, no, this is very light colored. I'm wondering if this is an egg matzah.
It looks like an egg matzah
to me.
That's why I want to get rid of it.
Okay, fine. So it looks like an egg matzah to me. And the matzahs are usually a little bit darker, and that can affect the volume, but we'll ask. Okay. What else? What else do we do on the night of Seder? Help us out. Shimron, what else do you do? What other mitzvah do you have?
I need to drink
four cups of wine. So four cups of wine is the simple understanding. It's a rabbinic institution, right? And Chazal didn't want us to just go ahead and drink wine, but Chazal aligned each cup with the mitzvah. The first mitzvah being the biblical mitzvah of Kiddush, and the other mitzvahs are rabbinic. The cups of wine are rabbinic. Okay, what wine do we use on the night of the Seder? So, all the guys traditionally don't listen to me on this, and I say, I know you can hold your liquor, I know you guys are big men, and you guys can all take alcohol, but every year, the guys, even at the model Seder, the guys take wine, and then 2 hours into the Seder, they're knocked out. The wine hits them, especially when it's on an empty stomach after a whole day that you haven't had food, especially when you have an hour or two in the Seder before you're going to get food, because you have the whole Seder, you have the whole Maggid before you're going to get to the food. So the wine hits them, and every year we have at least one guy going drunk at the table. And every year we have a few guys like, Rabbi, can we end now? Of course not before the food, but right after the food. So don't be one of those guys. Use grape juice. If you're going to use wine, so do one part wine, three parts grape juice. You want to be a big man? Afterwards, at the meal, after the meal, you want to drink wine, and then see. Don't kill your whole Seder over this. You want to drink wine, drink it today, drink it tomorrow, drink it on Purim. Pesach night, at least dilute the wine. So I buy light wine, a very low percentage, and I dilute it with grape juice, and then you're fine. You're okay. Then you've covered all bases. You want wine? Okay, it has wine in it. You want grape juice? You have grape juice. Some opinions say that, being that we're supposed to show that we're free men on this night, it should have some alcoholic content. So if you've mixed, you've covered all bases. It has some alcoholic content, so long as you could sense that alcoholic content. And it has a lot, and it won't knock you out. Yes? You were asking something? Okay, so we said four cups of wine. Now, what else do we do? What else are we going to eat on the night of Pesach?
Chazeres.
Oh, maror. The Torah tells us a mitzvah that we have to bring the Paschal offering and eat the Paschal offering with matzah and maror. Al matzot umorim yocheluhu. So you have to eat the Paschal offering with matzah and maror. But we don't have a Paschal offering, so we don't have to eat maror. So why do we eat maror? A rabbinic institution to commemorate the days when you could eat the maror with the Paschal offering. Technically, you were supposed to make a sandwich back then. You'd eat matzah, right? We say, just as Hillel used to do. Hillel used to make a sandwich. He'd make a matzah, the Paschal offering, and maror. Matzah and maror, yeah, okay. So that's something which we don't have today. To commemorate the maror of then, Chazal instituted that we eat maror today. So the maror is rabbinic. If the maror is rabbinic, then I could go with the more lenient opinion as to what's a kazayas, right? We said we're uncertain whether a kazayas is the volume of an olive, or maybe our olives are smaller and it's the volume of two olives. Well, for rabbinic mitzvot, we could go with the opinion that the volume of a kazayas is an olive, so we're okay. Okay, now, what else? So Chazal said that if you eat the maror as is, then that could be harmful to a person. So Chazal said, how do you ensure that the maror doesn't harm you? Chazal said, you dip it into charoses. You dip it into some kind of dip. And we have different communities have different traditions how you make the charoses. Now, the charoses, at first glance, when you look at the Talmud, is not a standalone mitzvah. The charoses is a dip for the maror. But if you look in the Midrashim tell us that at the time that the Jews were in Egypt, so they were making mortar. The Egyptians told them, you're going to have to make your own mortar. After Moshe came and said, I've come to free the Jewish people, so Pharaoh said, you guys obviously aren't working hard enough. You're going to have to collect your own straw. And then the Jews would stand in the mortar with their feet, grinding the mortar. And when they didn't get the quota, the Egyptians would throw Jewish babies inside. And the Midrash says there was a husband and wife standing in the mortar, beating down the mortar with their feet, and the Egyptians decided they hadn't hit the quota, so they threw their own baby inside. And the husband and wife are standing there in the mortar, and they can't get out. The Egyptians are standing there over them, and they have to step on the mortar as their own baby is inside. And you can imagine their wail as they're doing it, and they're crying. And Chazal say that that cry, there was one time that that happened, and the cry of those parents is what pierced the heavens, and God said, enough, my kids have to come out of there. So when we do the charoses and we say it commemorates the mortar and the blood of the children that was in the mortar, it's not just a hypothetical commemoration. It's a commemoration of something that was actually the breaking point, the turning point. It was the lowest of the low on the one end, and yet it was the source of everything that we discuss, and that's why there are even Rishonim that say you make a separate bracha on the charoses. We don't, right? We say the charoses is just a dip for the mara, the way the Talmud seems to describe it. But technically, there's also a basis for the charoses playing a much larger role in commemorating what happened in Egypt. Now, there never was, there never will be. There is no source, and there never will be a Jewish source, for the concept of any blood being permissible. No human blood is permissible for a Jew to eat. No, never was, never will be. But we know that non-Jews like to say all kinds of lies about us. And as such, on the night of the Seder, sometimes people were extra careful not to drink red wine so that they wouldn't be able to walk into our Seder and say, here, you see blood drops on the tablecloth that are red? You see what they were really doing? If they were telling lies about us, we have to try and ensure they don't have room to tell lies about us. So that's why there were many communities that would drink specifically white wine at the Seder. No one wants you. You guys know at the Seder, we always drip wine at the table. Everyone drips. You're pouring four cups. And you're pouring for a lot of people, and sometimes you take wine out of the cup, as we will see in the Seder, you purposely take wine and drip it out of the cup. By the way, why do we do that? We show that our happiness is not complete if other people suffered in order for us to get this freedom. They were our oppressors, they were murdering us, and nonetheless, we take out some of the wine, we say, yeah, but we would have preferred had it all played itself out without their suffering. They oppressed us, we needed to get out of there, and God is the one that was running the show, and yet we would still prefer it play itself out differently. Remember that. So, we today, Baruch Hashem, we could drink red wine. We don't have to worry about blood libels in this country. Unfortunately, the blood libels are out there, and there's nothing we can do about them, as far as I know. But we do drink red wine, and we pour wine into the charoses during the Seder, to commemorate what we just described, the situation of the mortar and the children inside. Now, we will personally make the charoses here right now. We're too short on time, so we'll begin the next class with making the charoses. We'll continue with our preparations. And when we speak about the Seder, so we're going to have a meal at the Seder. It's a Yom Tov meal, so you got to have good meat ready. Some people eat soup at the Seder. There's a whole meal. We have a biblical mitzvah of Magid, telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's another biblical mitzvah of the night. So how do we remember all this? I had to prepare a model Seder tonight. I had to know, Bitzala comes to me and tells me, what should I get? So I'm sitting there trying to put together a list. I call my wife and she says, just a second. Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz. She starts, we have an order for the Seder. She starts telling me, why don't you just do that? And she's right. Kadesh, okay, Kiddush, four cups of wine, we know. Okay, so I need grippers. Ur chatz, we wash our hands. Oh, we have water here, we have towels, we can wash our hands. Karpas, we dip a vegetable. Ah, we have a pepper, we're going to dip a vegetable. The idea is we dip a vegetable that's unusual. It's like a salad. You eat it in the middle of the meal. You don't eat it before the meal. It won't satiate you, and it doesn't look like you're going to eat anything else. The whole reason we dip karpas is to get the kid to wonder, hey, you just made Kiddush, why aren't we eating? Yachatz, we break the matzah, okay, so now you know you need matzah. Magid, oh, that's the next biblical mitzvah. We tell over the story of the Agada, Magid. Kadesh urchatz karpas yachatz magid rochza. We wash our hands for the Seder. Motzi, we make the blessing of a motzi on the matzah. Matzah, we make the blessing alachilas matzah when we eat the matzah. Maror, okay, so we have the lettuce, we have the horseradish, different communities have different traditions. The Mishnah says there are five types of vegetables that are kosher for maror. We have these two traditions, horseradish and lettuce. Korech, we make a sandwich with the maror and the matzah and the haroses. Shulchan orech, that's the whole meal. You guys see we have your steak and fish and eggs and everything you can imagine. Whatever you can imagine is here. Okay, it's up to you. Now we don't have pizza at the Seder. This is one Thursday night, we don't order pizza. This is the one Thursday night we don't order pizza. Tzofun Baruch. Tzofun, we take out the hidden afikoman. And Baruch, we bench. Hallel, we sing the Hallel at the end of the Seder. And Yitzo, we conclude the Seder with the songs at the conclusion of the Seder and wish ourselves and offer a prayer that our Seder be accepted before Hashem. So, we'll begin the next time with the preparation of the haroses and the karpas, and let's take the 1 minute we have left to figure out